tip that I don't like to relate. I said, man, the fish pie, if you got good bait, I'm going fishing. Well, how you doing, Leaf?
Oh, I'm doing pretty darn good. How you doing, Doc?
I'm just fine. I mean, thank you for coming in, by the way.
Always, oh, absolutely.
I always like it when you make time to come in. Let us know what's going on with the world of fishing out there. And I guess you've been kind of a nomadic lately. You've been traveling a little bit.
Well, I took the day off to do the caucus with my wife.
So yeah.
We just got done doing the patriotic vote thing.
Good.
You know.
Keep democracy alive.
Yeah, buddy. I've been out and about. I just kind of always wanted to check out the INIAT, and for some reason it was mentioned the other day, and it just kind of got me to itching, mm-hmm. and so I called my buddy Thomas up, and we flew down there and checked it out. You know, it's definitely, it's just as people had said, I just didn't understand what they were saying, mm-hmm. I think, when they're telling me about it.
You have never been there?
No, just driven right by it. Never actually turned up the INIAT at all before that day. So I was thinking, you know, if nothing else, I just want to see what's up that canyon.
Yep.
Yeah, so we really didn't know what was going on with the steelhead fishery. So we ended up going, I think it's like 5 or 6 miles up to the hatchery up there and just kind of scoping out the river. And we came to find out that we were kind of scoping out a whole bunch of closed water. And so we found out where to go, which was all the way back down. Mm-hmm. So luckily got my tour of at least a few miles of the INIAT, and then turned around and went back to the fishable section for steelhead, which is actually just that first half mile. So
now are you talking fishable at this time, or do they ever open it up further up?
They protect the whole rest of the river. Okay. It's closed for I think just for spawning. You know, they had a really hard time in their steelhead program and gave up on it at like $10,000 or $15,000 a fish on return, I think I had heard, because it was just so expensive compared to how much or how little you got back out of it.
And so they're just kind of letting it go natural.
And yeah, they're trying to protect the few wild fish that are maybe left in that system, that were born in that system, or just any wild fish that are going up there to spawn. And so to ensure that it's just wild fish, they allow you to fish that first half mile and hopefully remove some of those hatchery fish without hurting the few wild fish going up there, which may be Okanagan, Medhow, Wenatchee, strays, or they, like I say, may be that small group that make it in and out of the gravel up there.
Well, so what'd you find there in Andiat?
Well, you know, I mean, the fishing was pretty good. It kind of reminded me of that lowest hole on the Medhow, the Miller's Hole, just kind of a smaller version of it. The whole river falls really quickly, like the Twisp River or something. Low nutrient, super high gradient, about head-sized rocks to fist-sized rocks. Just not a lot in the way of slowdown points or holes. I don't know if it's been, I mean, I'm sure there's been a little bit of change to that river and channelization because of all the orchards and you know, the footprint of man up there. Mm-hmm. But, you know, it's pretty just kind of straight flying out of that canyon until it hits the lower end there. And then it kind of has that estuary effect when it hits the Columbia. Yeah. So by that point where we're fishing, it was almost just sand bottom. And it's very, one of the slowest runs I've ever fished as far as speed. Hmm. And, you know, it was kind of averaging like 6 or 8 feet deep where we were fishing it, but it would drop off of that kind of sandbar into about 15, you know, 18 feet of water. So it's, you know, not very characteristic in some ways of a regular steelhead run, but we had seen some guys from Wenatchee that were pulling in there that morning and got the hint that, well, that's, I guess, where you can fish. So we went down and kind of talked to them and got the lowdown, and didn't take long, about 15 minutes to get into one, and landed that one and kind of got spanked by a few more. Had one come up and grab my bobber. That's always fun just to see. Yeah. But definitely one of those things I'll go back to maybe if I'm on my way by.
Cool. Well, you learned something then about a new patch of water.
Yeah. Well, and I'm still interested in the upper end, you know, in the summertime, maybe checking out what the trout situation is all about, because that's the other thing I hear mentioned there.
Up above that waterfall there?
I think way up there.
So do they're just stuck up there on the other side of that falls?
Nothing
goes by it.
They could come down. It's one of those things that we've mentioned before. The one-way gene flow comes out of there, but there's not really a downstream contribution. They're not coming up over those falls, and so I think they're not worried about you intercepting any of those those steelhead that might make it up there at that point, and doubly so, hoping that you get some of those brook trout out of there for them, because they don't want them spawning with the bull trout potentially that are in that system, which I know they do quite a bit in that system.
Yeah, kind of a landlocked system there in a way.
Yeah, but it's a pretty little river. I can't wait to check out a little bit more of it. I know there's a summer Chinook season there. That's probably the next thing I'll do is go down and see what that's all about. Yeah, so we'll let everybody know how that is.
Yeah, absolutely.
Here in the early summer.
Well, and you know, for the last, gosh, I don't know how many fish reports we keep talking about the Lahontans. It's spring. They're starting.
I've been paying my dues.
Come forward a little bit.
Yeah,
we got some road issues up there. Have you been up there since we talked last?
I did. I had a chance. I wanted to go over there and just see what was going on with the road and see if you could even get to the place, because I had heard they were shutting the whole highway. And what I found was there is like the whole road is almost blocked by a sign and gates that say no through traffic. You can go that, like, I think it's 5 more miles from that point. You just have to drive around the signs, and which you're allowed to do, apparently.
Okay.
Because then you get up to the turnoff to Beer Can Beach, the first beach that you come to on OMAC, and it's very clearly all the way closed at that point. They've ribboned off even the sides of the road. And so clearly they're allowing it so that people can at least still get to the lake, because it's, I don't know how many more miles, 2 or 3 more miles down there, kind of dead center on the lake, as far as I can tell, where it washed out. And I don't think it's going to be anytime soon. It sounds like if you want to get there down to Cowpie Beach, you got to drive through Nespelem. So my recommendation would be to either go to Beer Can, which is usually the leeward side, or the not windy side. Is that right?
Yeah, leeward.
Or it's usually at your back if there is wind there. So usually you're checking there first anyway. I do like to fish Cowpie Beach there at the other end when it's calm. And you could still get there in a boat. Launching at Beer Can, I warn you, it's it's doable, but it's a really sandy bottom to the ramp. And even some of the better rigs could just kind of sink in that sand. I know that you cannot fish in Mission Bay, but you could drive around there, and it's not that much difference at all in time. You just start just up Dissatel and take a right there by the Pasco Sherman School, drive just past that to Mission Beach, and it's a really easy launch, and just blast out of there and head down to one of the other beaches.
Well, I mean, one thing to keep in mind with this is it I mean, at this point in time anyway, it looks like there might be some real nice weather, which is an issue over there.
Yeah, I'm definitely going back next weekend. I see that, like, it's almost 70 degrees projected there. That's what I'm always looking for, that point where I got to put on my sunblock and cover up and everything. And I can tell you from where they were last week, it really improved quite a bit there. I saw my buddy Duncan from the Fly Club and his son and his grandkids, and we all fished together for a few hours there, and man, they got some great fish. They were chucking some spoons. Had a lot of fun meeting his grandson Nico and his granddaughter Christina, especially. Yeah. She, like my boy Leo, she's got Down syndrome, and so it was, you know, kind of an opportunity with her being 20 to kind of see, you know, how a kid similar to mine is doing, you know, that far down the road. And for sure, you know, she reminded me a lot of my son. Just a great kid, and had a lot of fun getting her into some fish. She got into 2 on the fly and a few on the spoon, and she was running around netting fish by the end of the day, and just loving it.
Yay fishing. I love that. You know, I mean, I grew up fishing every chance I could get. I just think it was the funnest kind of childhood to have.
Oh, absolutely. And, you know, these guys are from the other side of the country. They're from Virginia, so... I don't think they'd even really done even like the spinning reel thing before. I think they'd done just, I don't even remember what kind of fishing they said they'd done, but not really anything like this. So maybe some saltwater fishing or something.
Oh, interesting.
So it was cool to get to see them doing stuff they hadn't done before. And man, the fishing was great. They were maybe 15, 20 feet out there, not in 15, 20 feet of water, but.
Yeah, just that far from the shore. Yeah.
And, you know, I mean, we couldn't see super well. I mean, I could kind of make out a few as they went by, but mostly it was just like make a cast, let it set, and they were on there almost half the time when you picked up off the bottom. So I'm really looking forward to next weekend, hoping they'll be right there where you can see them in that kind of white sand area on the beach, and and be chasing them down like a madman on
foot. You make it sound very compelling, man.
It's fun. You got to go. I was telling you, let's go do it.
Speaking of
drag you out of here.
Yeah, dude, drag me out of here. I've been staring at the computer screens too much. So speaking of going, people might want to go with you.
Well, you know, I don't do Omak Lake. I mentioned before as a trip thing, but there is a little while longer left in the Inyat River fishery there. Mm-hmm. I would definitely say it's worth doing. But yeah, as far as doing some trips with me, I would love to have you out on the lowland lakes here coming up, opening in the end of April, or on the river. And it's always better to try to get in there ahead of time. It makes it a lot easier for me to schedule the best time I can for us. So if you'd like to get a hold of me, just drop me a line at Methow Fishing Adventures at gmail.com, or give me a call at 509-429-7298, or you can check us out on Facebook or on the interweb at flyfishersproshop.com. and hey, don't forget to get that fish on.
If you got good bit, here's a little tip that I would like to relate with my pole mama and my life. I'm fishing, my mama's gonna